Good flashbacks, memories of things that brings a smile to my face from so long ago. I can remember from the late 1980s till the early 1990s getting off the school bus at my grandparents' house until my parents would get off of work and they could come and pick me up. Always enjoyed watching a few educational TV shows, one of which had a lot to do with math, which was my favorite subject. And there was a song that was played on there that is one that gets stuck in your head. Some of you may remember Weird Al Yankovic, and he sung a song called Patterns. And it showed a lot of intricate designs and all throughout houses and other places, and how a lot of mathematics can show that there is a way that these things all fit together. And you know, patterns are very important for us even today. I know there's a certain person here that I could ask all kinds of questions about using patterns to make all kinds of materials and how things ought to be. And I'm sure the answer that I would get is that if you don't follow the pattern exactly, what you wind up with is not what's going to look like what's on the picture. If you don't follow directions step by step, things will not work the way you want them to. And you know, we learned that ever since we're kids. It's always fun to put a puzzle together. When you look at the picture on the box and see this is what it's supposed to turn out like, then you realize that there's a certain number of pieces. They all have to fit exactly the same way. And when they all come together, you can see the big picture. And you know, from the very beginning, God sees the whole picture. Sometimes we struggle because we can only see a piece at a time. But if we follow God's plans, His direction, the pattern will come to light. And over again through the study of Scriptures, this is evident. You may recall that one of the earliest individuals that followed God's pattern was that of Noah. You can read about him in Genesis chapter 6. And as we are turning there, I'll remind you that it's good to look back at these things, because in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said that the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And you know that there is a lot that we can learn from the life of Noah. But here in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, God begins to give him a plan, lays out the pattern for him to follow. And I'm sure you'll recognize it as we begin our reading. The Bible says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." And notice in verse 22, "Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." There's a lot of speculation that could be made. What if Noah did not follow God's pattern? What if the dimensions were just a little bit off? What if he used a different kind of material? Would the ark come together? Would it float? Would it spare Noah's life? his wife's life, their sons or their wives' lives? Perhaps not. But see, God had a very clear plan, and Noah did according all that God commanded him. When we look to that example and see how would that to apply us today, God gives us a clear pattern. It's up to you and to me to do according to all that God commands us. If you were to read throughout the Old Testament and hear how many laws were given, perhaps you would find there were those that did not keep every single law. In fact, the New Testament reminds us that if we only stumble at one point, we are guilty of all. Something very, very difficult to do, but yet that is something that God expects of us, to learn His will and to do all according that He commanded us, even as Noah did. Well, we know that Noah was not the only individual that strived to do God's will. In fact, Moses was another one. Moses, of course, made some mistakes, just like we all do, and as a result was able to see the promised land, but could not go in. But during that period of time, you'll recall that God trusted him that he would begin to make a certain structure. A structure in which the presence of God would be evident. As we were to study throughout the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, you would see how Moses was going to build the tabernacle. But of course, the tabernacle had a design. God began to lay out where everything should go, what kind of materials should be comprised of every single piece. And there's a few things that are interesting of how Moses did what God said. For example, in verse 9 of Exodus chapter 25, the Bible says, "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." Do you think God was very particular about how things ought to be done? I believe this verse tells us, just so you must follow the pattern exactly. And as you read throughout that chapter, you find how the Ark of the Testimony ought to be, the table of showbread, the lampstand and how it was supposed to be made and where it was supposed to be placed. And the very last verse of this chapter, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, says, "And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." Remember that mountain, Mount Sinai, in which Moses received the Ten Commandments? There was a very clear pattern of how God wanted His people to be, how they should treat God Himself, how they should treat their fellow man. Very, very clear, were they not? Thou shalt do this, and thou shalt not do that. It's hard to misunderstand things in which they are either a yes or a no. And when you have patterns of buildings laid out in front of you, this is exactly what to follow. It shouldn't be that difficult. Although we might scratch our heads and say, it seems very difficult today. If you were to ask for a certain piece of furniture that you have to put together yourselves, usually the instructions are made in Chinese, and by the time that you decipher kind of what they say by the picture, you figure out that things don't go as smoothly as what you would like. And if you were to call the manufacturer, they can't give you any more information than what's already printed. Or if they do, it is usually in a foreign language in which you cannot understand. But the good thing about God is that He gives us things that we can understand and things that are very, very easily able to be followed. But then we come to another example, and that is Moses' own brother. You remember that Aaron was his spokesman. And when God told Moses that he would send Aaron with them, Aaron went with him. And yes, did those things that God wanted him to do. And one piece in particular that God wanted Aaron to do was to help with the tabernacle, and that is making of the lampstand itself. In the book of Numbers in chapter 8, notice there in verse 4 what God gives specifically unto Aaron. Numbers chapter 8 and in verse 4. We're told, now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. If it sounds like in this verse that Moses made the lampstand, we go back to the earlier verses. Because there in chapter 8 and verse 2, the Lord says to Moses, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And then verse 3, Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand as the Lord commanded Moses. It doesn't seem very difficult. God says, this is what I want to do. This is how I want it done. And Moses told Aaron as God told him to, and Aaron did so. He put things exactly where they were supposed to be. And that's the way God is. When we fast forward to the New Testament and see how we are members of God's body, the church that belongs to Christ, He has a place for each and every one of us. We all have our gifts. We all have our talents. We all have our abilities. And we need to be in the right place, doing the right thing, for the right person, and for the right reason. If we do those things, we can be built upon a solid foundation. But just as the church only has one person to build it, we also go back to the Old Testament, in which God's house could only have certain ones to build it. Do you remember that God did not allow David to build the temple? Remember how he was a man of war and a shed blood? And because God would not allow him to do so, David was still going to help in whatever way that he could. And so remember his son, Solomon? He was willing to instill upon him the things to use to make the temple. This is recorded in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 28. But notice just a few verses of importance of David's responsibility and of Solomon's willingness. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, there in verse 9, here is what he says. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. For also the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. Usually, before we do something, are we not given a pep talk? Maybe the coach preps his players before they go out to compete a game. Maybe before that important exam, the teacher gives the students final words of instructions. Or maybe personally, there's some things that we need to do, and we have to talk our own selves into doing it. Well, we need to remember who it is that we serve with all our hearts, with all our mind. David says, do so with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. And as Solomon will continue to follow in his footsteps and do those things that would be pleasing unto God, yes, he says, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. You know, that could be said for us even today. The New Testament makes it very, very plain that if we do the will of God and abide in his house, he will be with us. But when this life is no more, and we have not served God and forsook him, he will cast us off forever. And by then, it will be too late to turn and do what God said. That's why when we have a choice, we should do the will of God. But would you believe that there are some that did not do the will of God? In fact, we have a clear example of those that did not follow the pattern. If we were to go back to the book of Leviticus, there in chapter 10, you may remember certain sons that Aaron had. Remember Nadab and Abihu? We're told very clearly what it is that they did wrong. In Leviticus chapter 10, there in verse 1, the Bible says that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. When you go back and read how specific God was about how to offer sacrifices, what kind of material to use, what kind of animals to kill regarding certain types of sins, he was very, very clear. He even said who he expects to perform those very duties. And if any detail was not according to God's liking, there was a consequence. As Nadab and Abihu found out, wherever they got the fire from, whatever kind it was not the kind that God had commanded. And as a result of their disobedience, even if they were willing to do everything else just right, they gave up their lives. If we were like that, would we do what was right the first time around? We often believe in what's called second chances, and the more we read of God's Word, the more chances we realize that He has given us. But what are we doing with those chances? Well, that question was posed during the days of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel tells us that Ezekiel was a man of a great mission to warn the people that they needed to do what God wanted them to do, because if they were not willing to repent, they were going to suffer. But yet, they had a choice. But would they do all that God commanded them? Well, let's see what that choice involved. Turn with me now to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43, and I'd like for us to begin here in verse 10. As we've already looked at, the temple was to be built following its pattern specifically, and if men would follow in God's footsteps, remembering who God is and where he was going to dwell, that he would be their God and they would be his people, we know that even over time, man has a tendency to forget, just as the children of Israel did so many times. But here in Ezekiel chapter 43 and verse 10, here's what God says to Ezekiel. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight, so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances, and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. You think that would be a good reminder to see exactly how these plans were construed that God had given them, and how by looking at everything performed to the design as God had given it, that is how they need to shape their lives to be the kinds of people exactly that God would have them to be? Do we need a reminder even today? Are there things in our lives that says, you know, I forget who God is, about His love for me. I forget the kind of person that I need to be for God. Well, this should not be a valid excuse, because God has shown us. He gives us a reminder. In fact, today you and I have the perfect pattern. There is one individual that showed us exactly who we need to be, what we need to say, and what we need to do. You know who that is. At least I hope you know Him very well. He is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Do you recall how Peter described Him in his first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 2? There in verse 21, he says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." If you were to just read through the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see who Jesus is, the perfect pattern, our example, who committed no sin, who overcame temptation, who was always willing to do His Father's will, always willing to help someone else. That's the kind of people that we need to be. And that's exactly through many of His writings the Apostle Paul encouraged his readers. For example, in Paul's first letter to the young man Timothy, there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 16, he reminds him, "However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Just as Jesus was an example for Paul, Paul says that through Him, he wants to be an example to others. You know, it works very well when we allow Christ to be our example, that by imitating Him, we can be a good example to others. In fact, that's what Paul also said on another occasion. "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Can you imagine if everybody followed the same pattern? How much better things would be? You could tell who is of you, who is not. Learn more what truth is and what is untruth. That's what Paul encouraged the church at Philippi to do. In his book, Philippians, chapter 3, there in verse 17. He says, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. Just as God had given a clear pattern from the beginning, it's still there. We can still see it and follow it exactly as it was designed to be. And sometimes we wonder, how can I do so? Maybe I'm too young. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I don't know anything about being the kind of example. Well, no matter who we are, young, old, anywhere in between, somebody is always watching. I can remember in upper elementary school years, riding the school bus, I would hear kids talking behind me, understanding that they were often talking about me or somebody else. And sometimes I would just lean back a little bit more in my seat so I could hear the kinds of things that people were saying. And I quickly realized that they knew when you got off the bus, when you got on the bus, their friends that you had and the things that you liked to talk about. Even then, somebody was watching. Whether we're young men or older men, younger women or older women, somebody is watching us. And Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy was to be an example even when he was a youth. Are we setting our example? Are we showing the pattern of Christ to others? If not, we need to be encouraged to do so. Paul exhorted Titus in chapter 2 of how Christians ought to be, regardless of age or gender of any other characteristic. As he concluded by talking specifically to the young men, he says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. To be a pattern of good works in all things. Wasn't Jesus a pattern of good works in all things? Book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38 teaches us that he went about doing good. And that's the kind of things that we need to do. Yes, God is very clear from the very beginning. Here is his design. Here is how we must follow it. If we want to reach out to a lost world and to lead many souls to Christ, we've got to follow the pattern. We must become an example to others. And when people work from patterns to put things together, you might hear of something known as a blueprint, something that shows specific information of how to follow. Well, today, that's called the Bible, God's inspired word. The Bible teaches us who God is, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It explains the gospel message, how Christ lived a sinless life, died upon the cross, shed his sinless blood, was buried, was risen again that our sins could be washed away, and that we could have the hope of everlasting life. It also explains his church. The Bible is the perfect model because in Acts chapter 2, we can read about how Christians came together, how they were obedient to that gospel, how they began to worship God, how they began to experience fellowship with one another. And if we were to follow that pattern exactly, we could do now exactly what they did then. And many times somebody asks, well, why are there so many different kinds of churches? Because not everybody is following God's pattern. That's why. And that's what we need to do. You see, the directions are crystal clear. But it's up to you and it's up to me to follow them. Because by doing so, we can achieve the end result. We can get to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and the example that He set. Are you willing to follow the pattern tonight? We're just about to sing a song of encouragement. And if there is one tonight that needs to respond, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.